I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, Tupelo. This is The Memo Podcast, courtesy of The Daily Journal. It is Thursday, December 8th. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke this afternoon. Brad, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. And not only hello to Tupelo, but hello to
Northeast Mississippi.
Yes, anyone else? Holka, Van Vliet.
Wisconsin.
Well, maybe. I mean, you can listen to this in Wisconsin.
Russia.
You could listen to it in Hamburg.
One guy in Tupelo, Arkansas going, I don't think this is for me.
Or Tupelo, Oklahoma.
Did you know Oklahoma, that's what I was thinking of. There's a Tupelo County in Arkansas.
I want to say there's three Tupelos in the U.S. Maybe it is in Arkansas.
Tupelo County in Arkansas.
Maybe it's
it's a town.
Okay.
Population was 180 at the 2010 census.
Wow.
There you go.
I wonder if they get any Elvis tourists.
It is not even 200 acres. It's 198 acres, but it does have a post office.
My dad has more land than that in Oxford.
This might be the most useless Wikipedia page ever.
There's an actual Wikipedia page for it?
Yeah. Most all towns have one.
If I was them, I think I would throw up an Elvis sign just for... I mean, if you only got a population 180, any tourism money you get is...
Bus full of British people roll in.
They're very uneven. In 1920, their population was 317, and they dip down 200s. They go back up. They go back down. But this is the smallest population they have ever had right now. So hello to our both listeners in Tupelo, Arkansas.
I'm sure we have more than two. I like rolling through those.
Well, there's not many more people.
If
we
get two, we've almost got a quarter of the population.
I like rolling through those small towns. Like if we've gone to Branson several times for vacation, and we go up through the Ozarks, mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of really small towns like that. And you'll see, like, I can't remember the name of some of the towns now, but like population 216 or population 312, and you just roll through, and it's like, how is this town still alive?
Yeah,
but it is the Ozarks.
I've seen that in Texas. One time we went out camping out in Colorado, going from New Orleans, we went through Texas, and a lot of small towns like that.
I'm like, there's the one gas station that's no longer open.
Tupelo, Oklahoma, not doing much better. Their population in 2010, 329. These are very small towns.
Best Tupelo.
What if George McLean had picked Tupelo, Oklahoma instead of Tupelo, Mississippi? How would the world be different?
I bet they don't even have their own newspaper, though. Not anymore. They probably did back in the day. Every town used to have one. But
I just wonder what else there are. What other Tupelos there are.
I want to say that's the only three.
Alternate universes. It's like the upside down. Tupelo, Oklahoma is like the upside down.
Tupelo, Oklahoma.
How many cities are called Tupelo in America? There are four places.
Is there one in Colorado?
Hold on. I don't know. Only three of them are popping up.
I wanted to say there's one in Colorado.
I've seen Todd Vineyard post a lot. You know, he's in Asheville now. There's like a Tupelo Honey Cafe in somewhere near Asheville that he goes to.
There's a Tupelo, Texas.
No, that's Oklahoma.
Arkansas. Todd Vineyard, a former Journal employee.
Tupelo, right. Alabama?
What? That's just getting crazy talk. They're making stuff up.
Tupelo, Alabama.
What's it close to? Nothing, probably. It must be like...
I mean, it's there, but it's not giving me any information on it. How weird. Tupelo, Alabama.
Huh. Well,
it's...
How did we fall down this Tupelo wormhole?
I'm looking right at it.
Oh, right.
Because you chastised me for only mentioning Tupelo.
I was trying to include other municipalities in our greeting. Because we welcome listeners from everywhere. Nettleton, Shannon,
Nothing's
West Point.
Nothing's really popping up about this. I'm
FEBA.
Not sure if I'm...
Hello to everyone in FEBA today.
Fine.
Hope you're doing well. I've been through FEBA a few times. What?
It's apparently between Huntsville, more or less between Huntsville and Chattanooga. It's right by Scottsboro. It looks like it's in the middle of the mountains, not even off of a road. Mm. Or not off of a highway, I guess I should say.
There's a gravel road that takes you there.
Yeah, it's west of Highway 72.
It's where the old schoolhouse used to be.
Several people have gone in there, and they've never come out.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle. Like
off of Highway 21. Alabama.
Should we just go get in the car and find this place real quick?
Because there's not. I don't know if it'll be real quick.
There's no information about it on the internet. Like, it exists, but like there's not.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go right now.
It's weird.
And that was the last podcast they ever did.
And that was the last time Brad Locke was ever seen again. This is odd. Alabama.
Huh. I haven't really. I think I've been to Huntsville maybe once, so I'm not even familiar with that area. What highway goes through Huntsville?
I-65 does.
Okay, I was thinking east-west, though. West-east.
Let me go back.
Wait,
to
did you map. Say Highway 21?
I-65.
County Road 21.
Yeah. I saw that after I said it.
I was like, that ain't a highway. It's basically a crossroads. Like, this is Tupelo, Alabama. It's a crossroads.
Huh. Yeah, so it is.
Give me... I feel like I'm on 24 now. Give me satellite imaging.
There's two ways in there from County Road 21.
No, I told you wrong, Brad. I-65, I guess, is just to the west of Huntsville. You could take Highway 72 from there to get you into Huntsville.
According to this, it's in that field right there. That's Tupelo, Alabama.
That's okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, bunch of farmland there.
Interesting. Oh, well, good information for you. On this Thursday, you wouldn't have known that if you hadn't played along with us today.
Also, hello to everyone in Dorsey.
Sure, Dorsey.
Hello to everyone in Tishomingo.
This reminds me of I was reading a story the other day on board games.
Good morning, Derma. Sorry, go ahead.
I was reading an article the other day on board games from the 80s, like when the original Trivial Pursuit came out. And questions that are no longer.
Relevant, yeah.
So, not even relevancy, but are now incorrect.
Right.
Like, I read one, and it was from a 1998 edition, and it was, who has never played Batman? Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Adam West, or Ben Affleck?
Well,
as of 2016,
they've all played it.
It almost makes you wonder if the directors had played that Trivial Pursuit when they were casting for the new Batman, and they're like,
"I got a pie piece, and we've got our Batman."
Ben Affleck,
That's a great idea. Let's do. I would have never thought of that.
Thanks, Trivial Pursuit.
Oh man, I used to play that all the time, and we didn't, and we had a version. The same version for several years back in the 80s into the early 90s. And, you know, back then we didn't have internet. So if the answers had changed, we probably didn't know it. But now that we do have at my house, I don't know that we have just the regular, but we have the 90s Trivial Pursuit, which is pretty much how you have to, probably that's the best way to play Trivial Pursuit is to get one of those dedicated to a single decade. Because like you said, stuff seems to change so fast now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like to play the 90s Trivial Pursuit. That's kind of my wheelhouse there when I was a kid, teenager.
I'll give you a taste of a few right here if you'd like to know. 10 Trivial Pursuit questions whose answers have changed since 1982, the original edition.
Okay.
See if you can get any of these, either one of you guys can get these. What surnames are shared by at least two U.S. presidents? The 1982 answer is Adams, Harrison, Johnson, or Roosevelt.
Right.
Obviously,
Bush would be one.
Bush, you would now add that one. What are three quarters of the world? Where, excuse me, are three quarters of the world's pineapples grown? In 1982, the answer was Hawaii.
It's not Hawaii anymore.
It is not Hawaii anymore.
I'm going to say Iceland,
California. Wait, this is the world.
Yes.
Okay.
In all the world, Mexico. In 82, it was Hawaii.
Brazil.
Iceland is known for their...
Paraguay?
What was I going to say? Cantaloupes? No. Pineapples. No, it's actually Thailand.
Interesting.
Here's one for Chris Kiefer. What is the most attended sport in the U.S.?
Still be baseball.
Major League Baseball is the correct answer today, but in 1982 it was horse racing.
Wow.
Horse racing.
Well, boxing was also still big in 82.
So. Number four. Who was the last white man to hold the heavyweight title?
Rocky Marciano. Did he ever win the heavyweight title?
And 1982 answer is Ingemar Johansson. Today would be...
One of the Klitschko brothers?
Wladimir, yeah, Klitschko.
Vladimir Klitschko.
Vladimir, I guess, yeah.
I think there's two of them.
Okay, there you go.
I got that one.
Number five, what country borders Denmark to the south? In 1982, the answer was West Germany.
Germany.
Yes. Good job. Take that wall down and things change. How many rooms are in the White House in 1982? The answer was 132.
What, they expanded on the White House
there? Yes.
I didn't know that. I don't know, 147.
137. Close, close. What is the second biggest selling magazine in America? 1982 was Reader's Digest.
Why would they ask for the second biggest? Was the first one that first biggest that obvious?
Is it People?
No. I wonder if it was like Time.
What
or
was it back then?
Reader's Digest in 82.
What was the biggest?
I don't know. It's asking what the second biggest was in 82.
Maybe it was Saturday Evening Post. I don't know.
Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest in 82. Today it is the AARP Bulletin. For all you senior citizens out there.
So basically the same people that were reading Reader's Digest back then.
What is the most common street name in America? 1982 answer was Park.
Maine?
Yeah. I would have been Maine back then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you'd think so.
What is the most popular cocktail in the United States in 1982? The answer was a martini.
Most, I don't drink cocktails, so I don't know. Long Island iced tea? I don't know.
A margarita.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, margarita. Should I have that?
And what are the four most widely used languages in North America? 1982's answer would be English, French, Spanish, and Italian.
I'll say English and Spanish are still in there, obviously.
Okay, got two more.
Japanese?
Ooh. No. Chinese?
Yes.
And was Japanese the other one?
No.
No. Chinese, Canadian.
Still French. That's still the only French. Thing that's changed is, is Chinese over Italians. So that's the way the world has changed since 1982. Wow. Is Pluto a planet?
I don't know. I can't keep up anymore.
I think we're back to being a planet now.
Seems like when I was in college, it wasn't, and then it was. And then,
yeah, they went away. Pluto is a dwarf planet, but no, it's no longer a planet. It's still not a planet.
Okay.
So,
what flags will Tupelo fly in front of the new police headquarters?
Well, when Caleb Adillion joins us in a few moments, we'll find out. But I guarantee you by the time this episode gets out, the decision might change again.
You never know.
Do have a full show with Caleb joining us today. Scott Morris will be discussing the film he saw this week, Incarnate. Good horror film. Or, I don't know. Admittedly, he doesn't like horror films either, so there's a bell curve there. And we'll be talking about scene section this week. Go ahead and get started and remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
And also, the memo is seeking your input on how we can improve. We'd like to know what you like about the podcast and any suggestions you have to make us better. So please take our 10-question online survey at djournal.com/memo survey. You can also email us comments at memo@journalinc.com.
Caleb Adillion joining us today. Caleb, I think you only come on now to talk flags. I think that's the only time you're in here anymore.
Pretty much, yeah, because the city council can't quite decide what they're going to do.
So every time they change their mind, you get in here again.
All right, now, to be fair, that's...
If we play flag bingo, what did we get this week?
This week, we get no resolution.
Okay.
So, yes, to bring everyone up to speed, the city council in early November adopted a policy that the Mississippi state flag must fly at municipal properties with more than one flagpole. This was in response to, some calls that the city just kind of take it down altogether, joining regional cities like Oxford, Starkville, and Columbus that have stopped flying the flag out of protest of the design of the flag. But now, when our council approved on a 5-2 vote their policy to keep flying the flag, the idea was at the time that, yeah, we're gonna approve this policy, but the majority of the council indicated that personally they would like to see a new flag design, and so they were going to approve this policy out of respect for the institutions of the state, so to speak. But
sure.
Again, there was the understanding that later, closer to when the next legislative session opens, they would bring up for a vote a policy asking the legislature to adopt a new state flag.
Which is good policy. It's a good way to handle it. It's very level-headed instead of,
I think that was at least the way they tried to present it. Hey, you know, we're going to do this, but we're going to do this other thing, too, and we're going to try and kind of be in the middle. Never mind.
We're not going
to
do that either.
No resolution being sent to the state legislature. I mean, theoretically, two council members could force a vote on one. All you need is a motion and a second, but I doubt that's going to happen. And Council President Lynn Bryan was, you know, fairly straightforward, telling me that he doesn't want to bring this up for a vote before a municipal election, which will be next spring.
There was no discussion on the matter. It was just deleted off the agenda. Is this
correct? So, I mean, it has been on the study agenda. For normally what you would do is you'd put something on the study agenda and then a council member would either move to bring it off the study agenda onto the action agenda, or it would come up at a work session and then it would go to the action agenda. But when the agenda for Tuesday's meeting came up with the flag resolution on the study agenda, there was a motion to approve the agenda with the deletion of that item off the study agenda, and everyone voted for it.
And there was no discussion.
No discussion
whatsoever.
I wasn't even sure. You know, I'm sitting in the audience. At first, I thought, because they've done this before.
Did I travel through time? What happened to
that? Well, see, in past times, things have ended up on the study agenda, and they kind of just end up there. And they've deleted them just so they're not sitting around. Like Comcast franchise agreement was on the study agenda for some time over the summer. It became apparent that they weren't going to vote on it for several more months, and that still hasn't been voted on. So they just deleted it off the study agenda.
Instead of putting it to the bottom, they just take it off.
With the understanding that, hey, we're going to come back around to this later, but there's no point in just kind of leaving it like this zombie item on the agenda for an undefined period of time. I thought that's what was happening at first. I'm like, okay, they're just not entirely sure when this is going to get voted on, so they're just kind of clearing it off the agenda just to kind of clean the agenda up, and it'll come back later. So I, for clarity, asked Council President Lynn Bryan, and he said, not planning on it right now. And we're just going to see what happens in this next session.
And a reason cited is with the municipal election coming up, that they felt like that would take precedent?
I believe Council President Bryan believes that, you know, with a controversial item like this, some council members might be afraid to vote one way or the other. With elections coming up. So again, politicians often try and pretend that they don't pay attention to polls, or, you know, I vote the right way. I don't care about, you know, whether I'll get reelected or not. But I mean, you know, kudos for his honesty. Council President Bryan is putting it out there that, well, we're just not going to talk about this with an election coming up.
So if you are playing along at home with the City of Tupelo Board Game Edition, basically, this change is only in the fact that we will be getting the bicentennial flag for a year in front of the still not
completed police station. Yes. So yeah,
the still vacated.
Let's see if I can do this very briefly.
Sure.
Policy gets brought up.
Uh-huh.
We're going to fly the Mississippi State flag at every facility that has more than or has two flagpoles or more.
At least
two. At least two. But we're going to talk about this resolution later.
Uh-huh.
Then there was some concern that the new police headquarters building, which is in historically African-American neighborhood, has three flagpoles.
Sure.
They said, nope, we're still going to fly it there anyway. It's the city's police station. It doesn't belong to one particular ward or group of people. Then they said, okay, well, we'll at least fly the bicentennial flag in place of the state flag at the police headquarters building. So that would be through 2017. And then that's the latest twist is no resolution.
Nah.
So, I mean, there's been a kind of a back and forth,
back and forth. Two steps forward, one step back, basically.
And to top it all off, the police station has not opened yet.
Yeah.
Don't know when it's going to open. The policy about the bicentennial flag that was approved said it would fly at the police station from December 10 of this year, that's Saturday, this coming Saturday, to December 10 of next year, 2017.
Right.
Now, at that meeting where that happened, I asked Police Chief Bart Aguirre, who is there, does this mean you're kind of expecting things to be happening by December 10th? He kind of hem and hawed a little bit and said, well, maybe stuff will be moving in by then.
We're putting in the light bulbs this week. We'll see what happens.
And then he said, I mean, you know, I guess maybe if that's what the policy says, we'll just have to put the flags up, even if we're not in the building. That would mean the flags were flying in front of an empty building. But I asked some people at City Hall in the mayor's office yesterday about that, and the word I got was the flags aren't going up until the police department has actually moved in.
That's not policy. Now, wait a minute.
Who knows what's going on over there with the police station? I mean, you know, maybe they're just going to fake everyone out and the police station won't open until after December 10th of next year, and therefore the bicentennial flag will never fly.
I keep expecting to drive by and it'd be like a Hancock sign or a Bancorp South sign on it, and it's just a completely different building now at this point. Like, what happened to the police station?
We changed our mind.
All right. Well, Caleb, when they change their mind again tomorrow, you let us
come. Yeah, I'm kind of waiting. You know, at one point, Councilwoman Nettie Davis was wanting to bring up a vote on, she wanted to take down two of the three flagpoles at the police station.
Oh, wow.
Which would mean you could, under the policy, you could only fly the U.S. flag. She agreed to drop that in favor of, it was kind of a deal, I think. She would not force that. And then in exchange, they would fly the bicentennial flag instead for a year. But the way things are going, heck, maybe we'll talk about the removing flagpoles next week.
I mean, if we've got a whole year, God knows how many times it'll change between now and then, whatever they come up with. Caleb, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing, Derek.
Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. Had a new episode yesterday, so look for that. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
It's Thursday. That means M. Scott Morris is here to attempt in vain to make the podcast great again. How you doing, Scott?
When was it great to begin with?
It probably never was, to be honest.
I've been enjoying the one today. Thank you very much.
True. We've been talking about other Tupelos in the country that exist. They're much smaller than our Tupelo, as it turns out.
Pocket universes.
Well, all right.
Scott has nothing to add.
I don't. You know what? I did a story. There's a Tupelo Music Hall. I think it's up in Vermont or New Hampshire. This story went on several years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they took the name from Elvis's hometown on purpose. Huh. So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
You can go up there and have a pint someday.
Nice. I've always wanted to go to Vermont. I hear it's nice certain times of year.
It might not be
it's
Vermont.
It's in New Hampshire, I think.
Could not be this New time. Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere up in New England area.
Gotcha.
I knew at one time. I wrote a story about it. I've since forgotten. So I saw a bad movie.
Yeah. I was going to ask you. Incarnate, starring Aaron Eckhart. It's a horror film that isn't very scary, apparently.
I tell you what, it begins. When it began, it had a fright. In fact, I kind of jumped in my seat at one moment. And I thought, oh, I'm in for it, because I'm not a big fan of horror films.
Yeah.
But I have respect for it. I mean, I know that people like it, and so I go and I sit through it and I get scared. But after that fright, and then one more little middling fright, like halfway through the film, there's not much in the ways of being scary.
Yeah.
And the basic storyline here is that the Aaron Eckhart's character has the ability to get into somebody's dream state where the malignant entity, he doesn't like to use the word demons, possesses, has control of the victim. And so it's a dream state, supposedly.
Yeah.
But whenever we go in the dream state several times, and it's never dreamy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Is it comparable at all to Insidious?
I haven't seen Insidious.
You haven't seen Insidious? Okay, where they go into the...
Since I didn't have to see it, I did not go see it. I mean, if I have to go see it...
It's where this kid is like basically in a kind of coma, and he's lost in the... I can't remember what they call it now.
The ether world, whatever it is.
It's his astral being, whatever, is lost, and they have to go find him in that world. But so it kind of sounds sort of similar to that, but Insidious was actually pretty well executed.
Well,
this was not, apparently.
Well, like at one point, they run, him and the kid, he and the kid run through like a hall of mirrors with these clown statues all around. And I was thinking about my friend Kelly Carlson that I interview, that I do reviews with on Windsor 106.
Yeah.
She despises clowns. They scare her to death. I'm not one who scared them. And I thought, oh, she's going to hate this. She didn't even mention it because nothing happened. I mean, you're in a dream state and you have all these clowns all over. Not a single one grabs and reaches after you. It's just...
What a waste of clowns.
Exactly. What a waste of the idea that you have dreams going on. And then at one point... They say, nobody touch him. Don't touch him because that's how the demons pass from one person to the next. Just don't touch him. Well, they say that throughout, and they get awful close. They get close enough to where if the demon wanted to reach out and touch you, you couldn't do much about it. But but then at the end, they said, don't touch him, don't touch him. And then everyone who said, don't touch him, they're on camera touching him. Three of these characters are like experts in malignant entities / demons.
Yeah.
Touch him. I mean, that's a level of stupidity that that I think that you and Derek would have to work to get toward.
Is that a compliment?
I think it is. It's a backhanded one, but yes.
Apparently, you don't like the way it's you basically say that it looks like the people making the movie didn't put that much effort into it. Like it was what's the description you used here? I'm trying to find it here.
My reviews are usually longer, but the filmmakers didn't seem to care about their movie, so why should I give it any more attention than I have to?
Yes, and you said it had the production values of an after-school special.
And I stand by that, and probably not as much thought.
Wow, and it's kind of disappointing to see an actor of Aaron Eckhart's character attach his wagon to this kind of film, every actor makes a stinker. Pretty much.
We know he was in the Batman film. He was Two-Face, Harvey Dent, yeah. Two-Face.
I liked him in that.
And you know how Christian Bale's, when he was Batman, he would talk like this.
Yes.
Well, Eckhart talks like that the whole movie. Oh, we've got to fight this demon.
Really?
It was distracting.
That's weird.
It was a little bit. It's showing at, if you care, it's showing at the Malco. I give it an F.
Yeah,
a big Kelly Carlson F. gave it a C-. I'm not sure where the heck that came from. But I would say don't waste your time. Go find something else. You want something scary, just look at your credit card bill online for the holidays, and that'll give you a nice fright.
That'll get your heart rate up a lot better than this, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all can find Scott's review of Incarnate in today's scene section.
No, it's Incarnate.
Incarnate. What did I say? Incarnate?
I don't know.
Incarnate, whatever. And at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
We'd like to remind you to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Mississippi Department of Transportation's new four-year plan does not include many new four-lane highways. In fact, the bulk of the projects center around maintaining current highways and repairing old bridges. MDOT officials have been saying for some time that they barely have enough money to maintain the current transportation system. In North Mississippi, just 2 new four-lane projects are underway, and they have been for some time. One is the four-laning of a portion of State Highway 15 in Pontotoc County, and the other is the Interstate 269 corridor in Marshall and DeSoto counties. Northern District Transportation Commissioner Mike Taggart said replacing substandard bridges is a major expense for the department. Numerous bridges in Northeast Mississippi are slated to be repaired or replaced, such as on State Highway 245 in Lee County and on State Highway 178 in Itawamah County. And among the maintenance projects here are a $13.5 million project on Interstate 22 from U.S. Highway 45 to the Itawamah County line, and another $5.5 million project on I-22 east of Fulton.
For the past decade, employees of Ashley Furniture Industries' Mississippi plants have opened their hearts and their purse strings to Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Ashley is one of the largest furniture companies in the world. It has donated more than $120,000 to Le Bonheur through its Dollar a Week program, in which employees make contributions through payroll deductions. On Wednesday, company officials presented a check for more than $35,000 to the renowned Children's Hospital in Memphis. They made the presentation at the Ashley plant in Ecru, and Le Bonheur Special Events Manager Connie Haygood expressed gratitude for the generosity of the Ashley employees. Ashley employs some 3,000 workers at its facilities in Ecru, Ripley, Saltillo, and Verona. The Ecru plant is the world's largest upholstered furniture manufacturing plant. It was the company's first facility in Mississippi and opened in 1994. Le Bonheur Children's Hospital treats more than 250,000 children each year in a 255-bed hospital in Memphis.
A grant from the Mississippi Department of Archives and History will allow the Okolona School District to install an elevator in its elementary school building. The MDAH announced $2 million in preservation grants last Friday that included $117,600 to Okolona. The Okolona Elementary School building was constructed in 1926. Superintendent Dexter Green said the MDAH took interest in the building because of its barrel roof, an architectural element uncommon to Mississippi at the time of its construction. The district does not currently have a timeline in place for the elevator project. Green said it would be done with minimal disruption to classroom instruction and will probably take place during the summer. The school has been cited for noncompliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act in the past because of accessibility issues in the building.
A new mural commemorating the 75th anniversary of the Lee County Library will be revealed to the public on Friday. The mural depicts scenes of Lee County merged together to promote community positivity. It will hang next to the other two murals on the library walls. The mural will be 8.5 feet by 11 feet and was painted by local artist Charlie Buckley. The project resulted from a $4,500 grant from the Mississippi Arts Commission, as well as a partnership between the library, Lee County School District, Tupelo Public School District, and Gumtree Museum of Art. Students and teachers explored thoughts about Lee County's communities through poetry. Eventually, Buckley will work with students to paint scenes from their neighborhoods. Before the mural unveiling at 6 p.m. on Friday, students from Tupelo Middle School and Plantersville Middle School will read their poetry at the library for the public.
A silhouette artist from the Mississippi Craftsman Guild will demonstrate her work during the Union County Heritage Museum's Christmas event on Saturday. Reservations are being taken for silhouette sittings. Artist Sarah Rick will be available from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The cost is $25, and it takes about 10 minutes per sitting. To make a reservation, call 662-538-0014. Santa also will be at the New Albany Museum on Saturday, so children can give him their Christmas list. There will be hands-on crafts, hot chocolate, and cookies. I think I'll go.
All right.
For the cookies and hot chocolate. Hey, today's show, by the way, sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on there at South. You got the chef, Nick Rice, has been on board for a good while now, since April of 2015. He's got the new lunch and dinner menu items. They got a weekend brunch every Saturday and Sunday. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar every Saturday. And need to check out their happy hour specials every weeknight. And every Wednesday at 7, trivia begins. The winner, it's a $50 gift card.
Better than that, what better time to book your holiday party than by using South?
Yeah, and if you're a Trivial Pursuit fan, you'd probably like the Wednesday night trivia.
Yeah.
Okay, Derek, now it's time to discuss what's in the scene section and what's happening this weekend. Is anything happening in Tupelo, Derek? It only took me like half the morning to post all the stories you had.
Everything happens in Tupelo all the time. I don't know if you know this or not. I tell you that this weekend is a staple in, for the holidays in Northeast Mississippi. The North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra, the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra.
You're right.
I can't say Christmas. Every time I've tried saying Christmas twice now, Christmas. And I can't do it.
Scrooge.
The North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra Christmas concert is Saturday night at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. That brings together the NMSO, the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra Children's Choir, the Northeast Mississippi Community College Choir. It's apparently C words I'm having trouble with today. And the Itawamba Community College Choir, or chorus, brings all those groups together for a Christmas sing-along. So again, that's at the Performing Arts Center Saturday at 7:30 p.m. It's C's and S's I can't do. I don't know what the issue is. Tickets range from $10 to $25 in advance. I believe it's $35 at the door, 842-8433 for tickets for that. They do a really cool thing this year that I remember seeing it years ago, and conductor Stephen Bias told me they were bringing it back this year. They do the 12 Days of Christmas, which is like my least favorite Christmas song, except for that stupid one about the hippopotamus. I always want to shoot that hippopotamus every time I hear that song. and I'm against animal cruelty. Do you not know the hippopotamus song? You have two children, and you don't know the hippopotamus song?
Yeah. If I know it, it's not ringing a bell right now.
The one about the one the hippopotamus
I for
Christmas?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Don't know it.
You don't know it? Well, count yourself fortunate, Chris Kiefer. Well, you don't know that song, but you're about to know it.
I believe it's in the...
Should have kept your mouth shut.
If you type in I want in YouTube, it fills in the rest for you.
Great.
I believe it's in the public domain, so we're good. We're good here. It's this little girl singing it, and I don't remember where it originated.
It makes it even more annoying,
but
the voice.
It's there's an ad, but I cannot remember where it's from. Anyway, all that loads, I'll tell you. They do the 12 Days of Christmas, which still gets on my nerves, but they do it in such a way that each day is represented by a style of music, so they go all the way back to Gregorian chant from, like, the year 700 for Partridge in a Pear Tree and come all the way forward. And it takes about 15 to 17 minutes to do the whole thing.
So a different genre for each day.
Each day has its own genre of music.
And so then when they go back through, do they switch?
They switch every time. Wow. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So like what genre are you talking about? Rap, scat, jazz?
No. Like romantic and chant, you know, Latin chant and not 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Lame. Okay.
You're so uncultured.
I can see why you don't like it.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
You've heard this song, Chris. It's impossible not to have heard it.
It's from the 40s.
You got me.
You want to murder the hippopotamus now, don't you? Like, little girl, why do you want a hippopotamus?
The hippopotamus would probably eat her. Wait, are hippos carnivores or both?
They're herbivores, aren't they?
I don't know. But they can hurt you. They will come after you if you mess with them. At least that's what I've seen on National Geographic.
I don't have any experience with
it's
that
the,
either.
It's the worst Christmas song, although that stupid Christmas Shoes song might be worse.
I think I've heard, I think
the
I know
one
which
one
you're talking about.
The little boy and his mom's dying and he just wants to buy the shoes.
Yeah, that one.
Dear God.
I mean, yeah. You're telling me that some people get a little too saccharine with their Christmas songs?
How terrible.
Just so they can sell records.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. You don't know that one either?
I don't think I do.
Oh, you've done well, sir. I don't know how you've avoided this so long.
I've gone more for the Nat King Cole. And
well, yeah, I mean, that's ideally the way you're supposed to go with the holiday tunes, but where did this come from?
If you've listened to Sunday 93 this time of year, they play, like, everything, just about.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, gosh. Now, what about Jeff Foxworthy's 12 Redneck Days of Christmas? That's actually kind of
all
funny.
Very, except for the Muppets and John Denver. Funny. I hate all versions of the 12 Days of
Christmas.
There's a
local New Orleans group called I doubt you'd have ever heard of called Benny Grunch. Benny Grunch and the Bunch that they do a lot of local New Orleans songs, but they do a 12 Yats of Christmas that I always thought was pretty funny. A yat is like a It's a term for a New Orleanian because one of the expressions is "we're yat."
Oh,
it's got to say it all the time, so they call them yats.
We're yat.
So it's the 12 yats of Christmas. So it's like
that's funny.
12 Schwegman's bags, 8 by your mamas, 6 pack of Dixie.
Nice.
Tenneco Chalmette Refinery, Lower Ninth Ward. It's pretty good.
Oh boy!
For the crawfish I caught in Araby is
you
the
crazy Cajuns.
Christmas Shoes was recorded in 1999. This is a song you won't hear at the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra this weekend, thankfully. And it's bad. It's bad enough that I don't even want to play it for you to hear it. Because if I hear it, I will break something. So yeah, hippopotamus at least. Hippopotamus is always like in commercials every year. Like it's Target always uses it or some department
store. I guess I've heard it. I mean, I guess it just didn't register. It'll be one of those things where I'm going to hear it now
like,
in the next
couple
of days.
For one year, I want it to be, and I'm against animal cruelty. I just want to put this out right there to PETA, anybody else listening at the moment in Tupelo, Arkansas. for one year, I want it to be a kid singing he wants a hippopotamus for Christmas, but he's dressed up like Indiana Jones and he's hunting it with a trank gun. Like, that's the only way I'm going to be okay with that song moving forward. Anyway, North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra this weekend, Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. Also, TCT's holiday show, The Gift of the Magi, opens today and runs through Saturday. Four performances for that at the TCT at the Lyric Theater, 844-1935 for tickets there. Next weekend, you can catch the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Quote Along.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Friday, December 16th Lyric.
I marked myself as going, but I still can't promise anything.
The hippopotamus will come and hunt you down if you don't come.
I'll do what I can.
You spend all weekend doing a movie, you can come support a buddy for an hour and a half.
All right.
Yeah, guilt. It works every time. You and Deanna are coming, right?
If we get childcare.
Just bring the kids. Hey. It's fine. I'm bringing Wesley.
What time to start?
7:30 It's a Friday night. What do you got to do Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Let them sleep late. So
we'll try. I just don't know. We just hadn't.
$12 for tickets on that. $7 for students. So,
all right. If I come up with $12.
Oh, Disney on Ice is also this weekend.
Oh yeah, that.
That's always a huge deal.
Every year, doesn't it?
It does. That's at the Bancorp South Arena. They're doing 37 shows this weekend. Not really. They're doing Thursday, Friday, twice on Saturday, and once on Sunday. So whatever that adds up to, 3, 4, 5 that opens today. Bancorp South Arena. Tickets range in prices. There's many different levels there. So you'll want to call the box office to check all of those. And that number is 841-6528. I think they start at $18 and go all the way up to $53. So I don't think they get you a picture with Anna and Elsa, Brad, but you know, you can get in there real close.
I've been to Disney on Ice a couple of times. I'm good.
Yeah. You were,
twice is enough.
You were one of the ugly stepsisters, right?
No, I just went and attended.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were on the ice.
I can't ice skate very well.
Know your limitations. That's good.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's
it. Are we done?
We're done.
That's it.
Goodbye.
Okay. Cool. Done for the week. Be back Monday.
If you say so.
I'll be here, probably. unless I've gone off to try to explore one of the other Tupelos and get lost.
He set a course for 4 Tupelos. Across 4, and they're all right here together too. They're all interlocking.
All in the
that's odd too.
Same region. So it's Tupelo, Arkansas; Tupelo, Alabama; Tupelo, Oklahoma. Right.
Did we look up Tupelo,
Oklahoma yet?
Yeah.
Tupelo is a North American or Asian tree of damp and swampy habitats that yields useful timber.
Yes, but I just want to know where Tupelo, Oklahoma is exactly.
Oh, it's somewhere in Oklahoma.
Where in Oklahoma? We mapped the other one.
I looked at Oklahoma too, but that was many web pages ago. I've gone through a hippopotamus.
Did we get the population on that one? We got the population on the other two.
Yeah, it was like 300 or something. Okay. And then Alabama's in a field, so it's the children of the corn are the only ones who were listed as population on that one.
I wonder if that's where the Morville Woods people ended up.
Oh, the Morville Woods people. Hmm. Need to check back in on them, see what they're doing. Tis the season.
Yeah.
Don't tell them what they're up to. Okay, they can find us online, Derek. You know that, right? People listening.
Yeah.
I ask you to tell them, but you always get smart alecky with me.
I try not to, but it's so hard.
We can be found in iTunes, of course, and even your podcast apps. So just to hit the subscribe button and get notified when new episodes drop. Again, it's every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday that we have new episodes. And you can also stream it online, memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter @djournalmemo. Chris Kiefer's on Twitter @ChrisKiefer. First F is silent. Derek's on there @WDerekRussell. I'm @BradLock. And that's it for this episode of The Memo.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening, Tupelo and the rest of Northeast Mississippi.
And the other Tupelos.
Thank you, Pontotoc, for tuning in. Thaxton, thank you personally.
It's not a
Yachtney.
It's not a telethon. We're not
just trying to be inclusive.
Hello, Derek. Amory.
Yes, hello, Amory.
Got a call here for $10,000 from Tupelo, Arkansas.
Hello,
the entire town's budget.
Hello, this is Doris from Tupelo, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Population 1.
All right,
we're done.
Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.